and welcome to the latest episode of the Racing Pod Blast. Here we are again, everyone, with me, Tony Mack, and Ben Aiken from Narrowing the Field. And the flat is back, as they say, with the Lincoln meeting at Doncaster being our focus this week on the Pod Blast, taking in three races from the Saturday meeting. And then we head off to Scotland, as usual, for our ever-popular football tricksy battle, top, middle and bottom. But racing first, as always, and to Doncaster we go, starting with the Spring Mile Handicap at 2.55. Welcome along, Ben, and can you start us off with the Spring Mile?
Yeah, I'm on it, Tony. Yep, Spring Mile. Quick look at the draw and the pace for this one, given that it's a straight track 1 mile blast. And there's not all that much pace horses in the race this year. I think we might be looking at Skilled Warrior and Titian in stalls 17 and 18 to set the early pace, which obviously may give a bit of a pace bias to those drawn high. Likely to be heavy ground or heavy soft places at Doncaster, so that brings possibility of a track bias, as in one side might be playing slower underfoot than the other. It's not too straightforward on the pace draw front right now, but what we know pre-race, I think there's a possibility of a pace bias to top half of the draw. For all, I wouldn't be leaning on that too heavily right now. Race trends for the Spring Mile: 14 of the last 50 winners were 4 or 5 years old, that had no more than 18 career starts and had 0 or 1 start in the last 90 days. That chops the field down to 6 this year. Thunder Roar, Dirty Old Town, Helter Skelter, Kali Kapoor, Expressionist and Magic Memories. The two I like from that trend shortlist. Dirty Old Town, he ran in this last year from a £6 higher mark. He was drawn low last year and that really wasn't the place to be. Anything in the bottom quarter last year were dubbed long before the gates were opened. He's drawn mid-pack this year, which gives him options, and he will also appreciate the conditions on Saturday. On good, soft or softer, on a straight track, Dirty Old Town is 2 wins and a head second from 4 starts, which are both of his career wins. The only time he bombed out under those conditions came in this race last year, where, as already mentioned, he was done dirty by the draw. So I like Dirty Old Town's chances in the Spring Mile. The other I like is Magic Memories for Gary Moore. Still unexposed as a handicapper after only 3 previous handicap starts. His final start last season saw him finish a decent second at Newmarket over a mile on heavy ground. His overall form on soft and heavy is a win and 2 placed efforts from 4 starts, so he handles the ground well. Tom Queeley jumping back on board is a positive. He's finished 1st, 2nd and 3rd on his 3 starts on the horse. And Tom Queeley and Gary Moore hold some strong stats together since the start of 2023, especially over trips of 7 furlongs and further, and with fillies and geldings aged 3 to 6. With those types, they are 28 wins and 15 placed efforts from 102 qualifiers, 27% win strike rate, a 42% win and place strike rate, and over 96 points profit. So Dirty Old Town and Magic Memories for me in the Spring Mile. Tony, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I like Dirty Old Town, mate. He's an improving 5-year-old, but I'm going for 2 4-year-olds here. Look Back Smiling. He's 1 from 2 at Doncaster. Brandon Wilkie, he gets on well with the jockey Brandon Wilkie, who won on him last time when last seen in a handicap in October at Doncaster over 7 furlongs. He's 1 from 4 on heavy and he's 3 from 10 on a straight track. Concerns about the trip, but he has finished 3.5 lengths down in September last year in a handicap at Doncaster over course and distance. So 3.5 lengths down. Look Back Smiling can hit the frame at a price of around 10 to 1, and you're looking for a few 5 places with some bookies tomorrow. And also Wildfell, interesting one here. Roger Fell and Sean Murray, John Egan in the saddle. He was last seen. He's had a little bit of a busy time of it since December. He came back in December and he running on the all-weather at Newcastle a couple of times, Chelmsford and Kempton last seen. 4th of 11, beaten 4.5 lengths over a mile on the all-weather. All 4 career wins have come with John Egan in the saddle. here for Wildfell, who put four wins together this time last year between March and June, and winning last year in March after a break of 213 days. I think he's an improving sort, is Wildfell, and I think he's a little bit too big at around 14-1 tomorrow. So Wildfell, look back smiling for me each way. Dirty Old Town definitely on the short list. On we go to the 3 o'clock, the Cammage Trophy here, Ben, the Class 1 Cammage Trophy listed race over 6 furlongs.
Yeah, no trends to get stuck into here, and I am going to take a bit of a swing on one in the Cammage Trophy, that one being a day in Devon, a 3-year-old filly who gets all the allowances here. Those weight allowances put her bang in the mix on official ratings. She finished off last season with a second enlisted company at Newmarket on heavy ground, which was a career best effort, so the testing ground won't be an issue. She's also yet to finish out of the first two in six starts over 6 furlongs. All those 6 furlong starts have all come on a straight track. She's also an unbeaten 3 from 3 in fields of 7 or less. So plenty in a day in Devon's favour here. And she looks overpriced to me at double figures. I think she was about 14-16-1. She's where I've landed in this one. A day in Devon. What are you thinking for a...
Oh, that was nice and
trophy,
quick,
Tony. Yeah, nice and... No hanging about in the Cammage Trophy.
Bang. Right, I've got two in this. Around the top of the market. Top three in the betting anyway. I've got Orazio for Charles Hills. Jim Crowley in the saddle. He was last seen in September at Ayr, finishing down the field in the Ayr Gold Cup. 11th of 24, but he was only beaten 2¾ lengths there, which is quite significant to look at there. 11th of 24, only beaten 2½ lengths, and before that he was in the Stewards Cup, 18th of 27, beaten 16 lengths in the Stewards Cup at Goodwood. So he's been in all of them as well. He's ran in the Wokingham Stakes at Royal Ascot last year, finishing 6th of 27. Orazio, I think he can, and he did put a couple of wins in April and May. Hopefully he's a bit of a spring horse, and Orazio can go well tomorrow. And the other one is Marshman. Both over 6 furlongs, his wins, placed in a Group 2, 2nd of 12 in the Gimcrack in 2022. Not quite up to Group 1 standard in the King's Stands or Group 2 standard in the Coral Charge in July. He's had plenty of time off. He drops into listed class. I don't think there's any excuses left for Carl Burke and Clifford Lee with Marshman, who runs tomorrow in the Cammage Trophy. He's in listed class. There won't be any excuses. The ground shouldn't be an excuse either. Marshman and Orazio for me in the Cammage Trophy up at 3 o'clock. And on to the big one, 3:35 at Doncaster tomorrow. The flat is back. It's the Lincoln Handicap, Class 2 Handicap over 1 mile, Ben.
Yeah, like the spring mile, I will start with the pace side of things for the Lincoln. It looks a bit more of a spread of pace in this one. Potential pace angles and stalls 8, 10, 12, 16 and 18. May even be some pace horses down low if they need to sort of make their own pace as well. So providing there's no track bias due to the heavy ground, then looks an even enough spread of pace on in the Lincoln. On the race trends side, I've nothing overly strong, but 11 of the last 12 winners did fit the following. Had their last UK or Irish start between 150 to 240 days previous, were between £1 and £9 higher on official ratings than their last winning mark, and had between 3 and 10 starts in the last 365 days. That chops the field down to about a third. And using those trends as my basis, I'd have a short list of Latam, Vetiver and Liberty Lane. Latam is his first run for Julie Camacho here after moving from the Willie Haggis yard. He's a horse that has run well off a break in the past. He's 3 from 3 off breaks of 60 days or more, and his best form has always come in the first part of the year. In the March to July period, he has 4 wins and a 2nd from 5 starts compared to 0 from 6, 0 places in the August to October period. He's also at his best over 1 mile trips, has winning form on testing ground on a big field handicap because he won the Irish Lincoln on seasonal debut last year. So plenty in Latam's favour here. I think he could go well at around 10-1. Vetiver makes only her eighth career start here, only her third run in a handicap, so very much an unexposed type for Balding. She rounded out last season with a solid fifth in the Balmoral Handicap at Ascot on Champions Day, and I'd be hopeful enough that she has more to offer this season. Andrew Balding generally has his March runners coming off a break of 150 days or more ready to fire. He's got around about a 33% strike rate with those types, and Vetiver did win on season of the debut last season, so she should be ready to go in this. And Liberty Lane is the other that interests me. They clearly thought he had the potential to be a Derby player last season, as he took in the Dante and only his third career start. Ran okay in that, but was probably a nonce there. His form then kicked back into gear when they dropped him back down to a mile. He finished a close fourth in a Newmarket handicap before winning over this course and distance at the St. Ledger meeting in September. He beat our old pal Sonny Liston by a nose that day, and the rest of the field comfortably beaten behind that. Disappointed in the Cambridgeshire next time out, but quicker ground and step back up a furlong likely did for him that day. So this step back to a mile, back onto a softer surface, should see him run much better. I definitely get why he's near the head of the market for this Liberty Line. I could make cases for backing all of that three, but Latam is the one that catches the eye at the prices. Liberty Line looks a massive player, though. It would be disappointing if he wasn't on the premises come the line, but Latam's one I like at the prices. Where are you at with the Lincoln, Tony?
Yeah, Liberty Line was on the shortlist, a bit of a long shortlist, including Awal at the top of the market, as well as Liberty Lane. I've gone for two here at double prices at the moment. We've got Blues Emperor, five-year-old, Johnny Murtagh trains Ben Cohen in the saddle here, and he's an Irish raider, obviously. His second of 22, beating a neck in the Irish Cambridgeshire at the Curragh back in August. He has since run in a bit of an egg and spoon race at Listowel, but in a listed, well, it was a listed, but more handicap, was quite impressive. Second of 22, beaten just a quarter of length in the Irish Cambridgeshire. And before that, earlier in the season, he was in a handicap, 18 runner handicap at the Curragh as well, finishing, well, actually winning, beat Chesas Me, that actually won the Irish Lincoln last week, last Sunday it was, I think. And Chesas Me won that. He was a length behind, sorry, Chesas Me finished second behind Blues Emperor. He's a length behind Blues Emperor back in July. So I'm hoping Blues Emperor can go well in the English, the British Lincoln tomorrow at Doncaster at 3:35. My other one is the gatekeeper, Charlie Johnson, with the evergreen Joe Fanning in the saddle tomorrow. I've liked him. He was last seen on British Champions Day in the Balmoral Handicap, winning the Balmoral Handicap on British Champions Day at Ascot, finishing first of 20, beating Ropey Guest by a length. So good form there, and hopefully that will add up tomorrow. It was off a £4 lower mark, and Joe Fanning takes the ride once again for Charlie Johnson, the gatekeeper for Charlie Johnson and Joe Fanning there, and at a decent price. And Blues Emperor for Johnny Murtagh and Ben Cohen tomorrow at 3:55, the Lincoln at Doncaster. Right, moving on now, it is top, middle and bottom.
Thing about loving football is you cannot explain why you love it. It just happens. Chasing a ball round a park, wanting one team to win against the other.
El Mahani, right foot, whips it. Oh, jeezy peeps, man.
Yes, the bit of the pod you've all been waiting for, top, middle and bottom. But before this week's elections, Ben, an update on the current state of play, please.
Yeah, last week's results, just the one winner for me, returning minus 4 points. Two winners for you, Tony, returning plus 1.48 points profit. Yet again, you were one goal away from a tasty return. Had Forfar managed to find, right, wait for this one, Tony, okay? Had Forfar managed to find a winner against Stenhousemuir,
yeah,
your plus 1.48 would have been plus 34.07.
No.
One goal away, and it would have been a monster return.
That's 3 weeks running, mate.
Monster return. At least. it's coming. It's coming, I'm telling you. That would have almost leveled you out. Because current state of play, me plus 19.90, Tony minus 37.36. You're literally a goal away from turning it around. The normal three leagues for us again this week, but we also have the option of playing the Tunnocks Tea Cake Iron Brew Challenge Cup final between the Welsh... Sorry, I leaned on my mute button there.
I thought you'd gone.
Also, we also have the option of playing the Tunnocks Tea Cake Iron Brew Challenge Cup final. I don't know where I muted it, but yeah, that's between Welsh Giants TNS and Airdrie, which is on Sunday. So my top middle and bottom this week is TNS to beat Airdrie at 13-10. TNS. As I've said, the Giants of Welsh football, they have won their last 26 matches.
Bloody
They're
hell.
Unbeaten in 41 matches. They've scored 99 goals in their 28 Welsh Premier League matches. They beat Falkirk at Falkirk to get to the final. No one beats Falkirk at home except TNS. Airdrie, currently involved in a tight scrap for the Scottish Championship playoff. They're not really going to want to be going in for 50-50 challenges when it's only the Tunnocks Tea Cake Trophy on offer. It's looking like the bet of the weekend, Tony. TNS
13-10
up again. 13-10. TNS are going to rock up again to the Falkirk Stadium. That's where the final is. They're going to take the scalp via another Scottish team. And if TNS do win, it's kind of embarrassing because you'll have a Welsh team winning a Scottish trophy, which pretty much sums up Scottish people. So TNS for me at the top. And if you're at a loose end on Sunday, you can actually watch the game live on BBC Alba. And if you've never watched a match on BBC Alba, and I would not blame anyone in the slightest if you've never watched a match on BBC Alba, but if you do watch it, be prepared. The commentary is in Gaelic.
Oh.
And then it's better than this, Tony. It's in Gaelic. Then they seamlessly switch back to English when they ask the co-commentator a question who replies in English before the main commentator takes over and cracks on in Gaelic again, which it's top quality entertainment at its very best.
Is it not the Jeezy Peeps man commentating?
Oh, that would be awesome if it was. I don't know. I imagine he doesn't know Gaelic. But yeah, TNS for me in the top. Middle, Montrose to beat Stirling at 29-20. I'll stick in with my boys Montrose, despite them letting me down last week. They're unbeaten in the last four matches. Stirling are winless in four matches. They've lost the last two. Montrose have pulled in 20 points from their last 10 matches. Stirling have only managed to pull in 9 points. So I will stick with the informed Montrose in the middle. And at the bottom, Elgin City to beat Forfar at 13-8. Now, Elgin have somehow turned their season around. I don't think it's a coincidence that their form took a significant upturn after I went to watch them at the start of January. I'm assuming they thought I was there to send them a bit of a top, middle and bottom warning. They know things must have been getting serious when one of us turned up to put the frighteners on them, but it's worked. Elgin have the third best home record in the league. Only Stenhousemuir and Peterhead have pulled in more points at home this season. You look at the last 15 games, only Stenhousemuir have accumulated more points than Elgin. Win here would put Elgin just outside the playoff places somehow, but more importantly, it would continue their pull away from the bottom. So I'm going for Elgin City to continue their impressive home record with a win in the bottom section. So top, TNS, middle, Montrose, bottom, Elgin City. Tony.
Oh, right. I'm going on the basis of, I love your explanations, Ben, but my explanations of the last 3 weeks, home form is better than away form. So I'm going for top, Queen's Park away at Ayr at 15-8. 15-8, Queen's Park away at Ayr, because Queen's Park away form is better than Ayr's home form. Annan at home to Kelty Hearts as well, same reason. Annan at home, better than Kelty Hearts away form, 21-20. And East Fife at home to Stranraer at 3-4. Not quite sure why that is just slightly odds on. That should be long odds on, I think, East Fife at home to Stranraer. I think there might be a bit of a rick there at 3-4. So Queen's Park away at Ayr, 15-8. Annan at home to Kelty Hearts, 21-20. And East Fife at home to Stranraer, 3-4. Many thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Racing Pod Blast. The flat is back. Very best of luck with your betting at Doncaster this weekend and at the start of the 2024 flat season. The flat is back. You can catch more from Ben over on narrowingthefield.co.uk. Thanks very much, Ben.
Cheers, Tony.
And have a lovely weekend, everyone.